Let us pray. Lord God, you sent your word to bring us truth and your spirit to make us holy. Through them, we come to know the mystery of your life. Help us to worship you, one God in three persons. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. It's been a busy week. In scripture today, it is a short scripture, but it invites us into God's truth. Jesus offers his disciples a profound and intimate promise, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will continue to guide, teach, and glorify Christ even after Jesus has departed physically from this world. The verse comes near the end of Jesus' farewell discourse, as he prepares his followers for his death, resurrection, and eventual ascension. In these few short lines, Jesus speaks not only to his first disciples, but also to all future believers who would live under the guidance and illumination of the Holy Spirit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This sentence reminds me a little bit from my past life when my thought of faith was different than it is now. I remember probably about like 7 or 8 years ago, I was in an EFM class and somebody much more older and experienced than me said that through his life he found a couple of times questioning faith or losing his connection with God. And at that time, I was very certain and adamant that once you found God, you're always with God. There cannot be, like, how can you possibly step away from it? How can you lose that connection? Now I see that it is possible. But this opening statement, reveals Jesus' deep sensitivity to the emotional and spiritual state of his disciples. He acknowledges their current limitations, not of intellect, but of readiness. Their hearts and minds are burdened with confusion, fear, and sorrow as Jesus prepares to leave them. Yet rather than overwhelm them, Jesus offers a patient assurance that revelation is a process. The truth will come, but at the right time. This reflects a large theme in the Christian life. God does not give us more than we can handle, and he often reveals his truth gradually as we grow in faith and maturity. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, not merely a comforting presence, but a divine guide to all the truth. The Spirit does not speak independently, nor does he introduce new doctrines foreign to Christ. Rather, he continues Christ's teaching ministry. The Greek word used in the scripture, guide, implies leading someone into an unfamiliar path. The Spirit will lead the disciples and us into a deeper understanding, especially regarding truth they cannot grasp while Jesus was still with them. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Here we glimpse the perfect unity and cooperation within Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not a separate or competing voice, but one with the Father and the Son. He does not act independently. He communicates the divine message he receives from God. This assures us that what the Spirit reveals is trustworthy, authoritative, and in complete harmony with the message of Christ. and he will declare to you all things that are to come. And this phrase may refer to the future unfolding of God's redemptive plan. It also suggests that the Spirit will prepare believers to face what lies ahead. This forward-looking guidance is not meant to satisfy curiosity about the future, but to strengthen faith and sustain the church through trials and mission. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. One of the clearest signs that a person or teaching is led by the Holy Spirit is that Christ is glorified. The Spirit does not draw attention to himself, instead he manifests Jesus. All that the Spirit communicates serves to reveal the beauty and majesty and the truth of Christ. This is a vital criterion for this discernment in Christian life. A message does not exalt Jesus if it is not from the Spirit. If we are guided by the Spirit, I would say we begin to imitate Christ. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This concluding verse ties together the perfect unity of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything the Father has belongs to the Son, and everything the Son has is revealed to believers by the Spirit. The moment of divine truth from the Father through the Son by the Spirit is a powerful reminder that Christian truth is not discovered but revealed, and that it is always centered on Jesus Christ. At the heart of this passage is the promise of guidance, clarity, and truth, all centered on Jesus. The Spirit will glorify me, Jesus says. It will not lead us off track. It will not distract us, but draw closer to Christ. But in my personal life, I find that I need to ask myself sometimes, am I filled and guided by the Holy Spirit? Am I open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Because through the Holy Spirit I find my connection with God. Am I open to that guidance each day and each moment, especially when I face uncertainty or questions of faith? Do I measure that truth I hear by whatever it glorifies Christ, I would say? Like, do I mimic Christ in my life? And do I stay rooted with the Word? This week I found that I do not. It's been a very busy week. I've been taught in the past to preach on my scars and not my wounds, but this week has been a little bit different. So it is like the end of sole proprietorship tax season, which is tomorrow. I'm still not fully finished. And this whole week was just a mess. Because name shall be unnamed, but let's say a certain competitor has been working near us, and their management trucks and their safety inspector, like in-house safety inspector, have been cruising around our sites. So I've been running around, always trying to make sure that everything's working well, rather than doing my book. So like by that time, I was really starting to get tense. My guys have been apparently getting some messages from our former employer about, you know, the fact that everybody's laughing at them because they're working for me. So let's just say by the end of Thursday, I was really starting to get like really, really riled up. And as I was taking Adam to his playground on Thursday afternoon, like way after work, like around 5 o'clock, I saw my former boss's truck, like, approaching me, and I just couldn't resist it, so I rolled down my window and gave him a big finger. It felt really good, but apparently he had a dash cam. And later on that afternoon, he started sending my guys the picture of me giving him the finger. I don't think he expected Oh, and there was also a sign that he will destroy me now. This will all go on Facebook, which he did try to do. It was taken down. But basically, yeah, there was like, he really thought that he got me for something. It actually had a bit of a different effect because he is already known. And the guys on the contrary actually rallied against me because I think everybody wanted to give him a finger for a long time now. But when I looked at that picture, I have to say that that was the moment I was not guided by the Holy Spirit. There was something else happening there, and it was not it. But it allowed me to reflect, really, because this was probably, that moment was coming for the last 7 years, but I should have known better. I really did. And I have known better before, but this time I really lost my track. So looking back at it, I have to say that the Holy Spirit was sort of revealed something to me that I was not aware of. That picture was actually very helpful, and I am actually very grateful to him for that moment because that allowed me to see myself from the other side. I mean, there was nothing beneficial to that. Like, I already knew that we're doing pretty well, you know, pretty good. We're doing jobs, everybody likes us, customers like us. Like, we're doing great. There was absolutely no reason. I remember back in the day, I saw a bumper sticker once that have been sort of my, like, over these couple of years have been my kind of guided, like, my motto, if you will. The best revenge is to live well. And I forgot that. And in that moment, I am very grateful to the Holy Spirit. Perhaps I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, but he revealed the truth to me that I am stepping away from that connection with God. And I need to return. And in this passage, it actually reminds us that spiritual growth is a process. And I would even say it's not a process that we arrive to something as we go along, but it is always evolving. Sometimes we step back and we have to return. And there is no judgment. God does not judge us or condemn us. It just welcomes us back into his presence. And with that, let us pray. Mysterious threefold God, visit our hearts and there find a welcome as maker, mender, and builder. Come, our source, our savior, our comforter, take us up in the moment of love which flows in your timeless unity, threefold God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.